Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, how are you? Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in. It is WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arcan, live from our Brighton studios on a, not a balmy day, but it's nice out there, 63 and sunny. Hope you're enjoying the start to your weekend. Andy Hart on location. What's going on, Andy?
It's Focus Friday. We just got to focus for
it is
Friday.
Indeed, a Focus Friday. I thought it was Funny Friday, or the Friday Funnies. What was that thing that Barmore was doing?
We've moved on from that. I think Focus Fridays has a more professional ring to it. Now, it makes me wonder, is like, screw around Wednesday, F off Thursday? Mm-hmm. Like, is it just Focus Friday? Or am I, so Wednesday, Thursday, I'm kind of off the hook. I can do what I want? Is
well,
that how that works?
It's got to be alliterative, so whatever it is, yeah.
Basically, the thing that went in my head was dirty, so I didn't say it.
Yeah, I thought of a few dirty ones just now, too. I also thought of some old Opie and Anthony ones, like from Wednesday. You remember those?
Yeah.
Those are not allowed
wow,
anymore.
Wow, I can't believe you remember that.
I remember those bumper stickers.
Wow.
Remember those? Those things were bumper stickers were everywhere.
People used to write it in the dirt on the back of trucks too, all the time. Tractor trailer trucks and like delivery trucks and stuff.
I think you get taken off the air in Boston if you mention Opie and Anthony in 2024. So hopefully no one heard that. But either way, it's nice to have you with us here today. That was Jerod Mayo speaking this morning. I thought that was the most interesting part of the entire press conference, Andy. I don't know if you agree or not, but I thought that was for him anyway about as open and honest as I think he's been in a while. It seemed like he wasn't just trying to say a bunch of words. It seemed like he was genuinely kind of talking about his experience and what he thinks he's going to work on and how his process is all and all that stuff. It seems like over the course of the season, he talks in so many circles that you wind up thinking, what the hell did he just say? I didn't think that after hearing that little bit we just played. And I thought it was an interesting look into his sense of job security, his preparation coming into the year, or lack thereof, if you want to maybe put it that way. I don't know if that's the charitable way of putting it, but he did sort of imply it there. And really, in general, just how ready was he to take over this team as the head coach? He knew he was going to have the job. It was entrusted to him, basically. It was he had the job in writing. And it's been a big-time learning experience so far, and it's also up in the air and debatable how much he's demonstrably learned, right? I mean, like, what's gotten better? What's he gotten better at? How is this team sort of improving under his watch? All of that, I thought, was sort of interesting side topics of that answer. I don't know if you thought that as well, but he doesn't have a lot of really interesting answers. I thought that was one.
I thought it was interesting, and it made me immediately think about sort of the way we all felt that this was ill-prepared or poorly executed from the beginning. It was like, okay, we're going to hire Mayo. What was the second step of this plan? You didn't have a second step, and I didn't have who's got the second step of this plan? Like, there was a haphazardness to everything that occurred after we announced that Jerod Mayo is the next head coach. He's going to replace Bill Belichick, and I don't necessarily blame him fully. Because one thing that I think factored into his failure to be prepared is I do not remember the phrase that Mike Reese used when Josh McDaniels came back, that Bill Belichick was going to open his world to McDaniels.
I do remember that. Yes.
Okay. I don't think Bill Belichick opened his world to Jerod Mayo last year. So I don't think he was helping Mayo prepare to be head coach. And I'm not saying that he necessarily should. I know the Belichick honks are going to come out of the, oh, you're going to prepare your replacement? Is that what you would do, Hart? I don't know how it handled. I'm just saying I don't think it happened, and that probably hindered his ability to be ready.
Agreed.
And then when you learn on the fly, because I do think he has to be learning, he has to be acknowledging his missteps, it's hard to do a lot of significant changes or treat things differently, A, with the same players, but also when you're in the midst of a weekly schedule that never stops. He's in a dryer, right? He's in a clothes dryer just bouncing around time after time after time. But for him to at least express the idea that he is taking notes and sort of cashing things away so that year two jump, I found that also interesting that Belichick always talked about players, you know, year one to year two, and Mayo's hoping that he's going to make a massive year two jump. I think
Belichick had a pretty good year two jump, I'd say.
Absolutely. Right? I wouldn't want to live up to that standard.
No.
I don't think that's a fair marker. But I do think it's interesting. And I do think, first and foremost, it's like, oh, so you think you're back next year? That was like the first takeaway is, because the other day when he was asked about coaching changes, he kind of included himself. He said, starts with me.
Right.
Like, we all have stuff. So he's definitely planning on being back for a second season. And honestly,
I don't think he said that by accident. I think that was, the year to year, my second year, I think hopefully it'll be better. He knows he's got a second year coming.
And I think we all do. I think it got a little ugly there where we started to ponder, could this really be a one and done? But then they got a win and they've been more competitive and they fought to the finish. We're now in the second half of the season and the team is fighting for him and they're not an absolute poop show like they might be becoming in Chicago, their opponent this week, some of the things that are happening with their locker room and their star players. So I think it's fair for him to assume he's going to get a second season. But it's also important that he realizes his second season better be a heck of a lot better than his first, or he's not getting a third season. He might not get through a second season.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. I think that's absolutely fair, and I think that may have been what prompted some of the parts of those comments. I thought it was interesting how he's just, wants to disconnect from everything and get away from everyone and, go somewhere where no one can find them in the house and just whatever it is. It's a process. Everybody has a different process.
Well, he said we all should.
Yeah.
He said we should all do it.
I mean, that sounds great, Gerard.
Do you do it?
I have a 2-year-old. No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't really.
I'd love to. I've no opportunity to do that ever.
I also don't know what I'd do. Like, what does it mean? Like, if I go sit in a room and there's, like, I guess I'm supposed to not have my phone. I'm probably not supposed to be playing, like, Words with Friends on my phone or scrolling through Twitter.
You still play Words with Friends?
I do.
Really?
I do.
I didn't even know that still was a thing. I thought everyone stopped playing that, like, 10 years ago.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
But, okay, you're fixating on that. My point is, I don't know how I would, like, sit in a room and decompress and assess things. Like, I don't think I'm good at that. I would need some guidance.
Maybe it's a football player thing. That's what Aaron Rodgers did, just a dark room with a hole in the ground to poop in, and that's basically all you
do. How'd that
work
out for him?
Not great. Not great.
Terrible.
But, hey, maybe it's a football player thing. It's just, you take a lot of shots, you take a lot of damage to the body, you just got to sit there. No one touch me, no one talk to me, everybody get out of my face, and I'm just gonna sit here and veg out for a while. I kind of get it. I kind of do.
The flip side of this is that I didn't care for. I don't want to alarm Coach Mayo, but a lot of football left to be played.
Sure.
I'm not sure I'd be talking too much about how I'm going to decompress after the season.
I know.
And think about it. Like,
he's really got that on his mind, huh? Like, can't wait for this to be over. I can't wait
to be. You got all of November, Coach. You got all of December. You got a little bit of January. Like, if you want your team to finish and to, do positive things and create some momentum and lay a foundation and improve over the second half of the season, you might want to put the talk of the offseason in your back pocket for a while.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting time to bring that up. Interesting. It's not even Thanksgiving yet, Coach. Like, let's maybe focus more on the Bears and the teams coming
focus
up here.
Focus Friday.
And all the
focus
other stuff.
Focus Friday.
And it is interesting because there isn't a lot else to focus on when it comes to people like us and the fans and sort of everyone else. And I think that in some ways, his comments reflect the idea that this season was about seeing what you have, right? Like, you heard people say that. That was a common refrain in the first couple of weeks was, well, yeah, they're losing games, but it doesn't really matter. What this season's all about is seeing what you have with Drake May, seeing what else you have on the roster, and who to build around going forward and all this other stuff. We did that. We did the pillars on the roster and who to keep and all that.
Yep.
Like, that's what you're trying to figure out this year. And we threw some names out who have probably played their way right off that list over the course of, I don't know, 8 weeks or 9 weeks, whatever it is. And I think that in the case of Gerard Mayo, it's sort of the same thing. Like, what do you have here with Gerard Mayo now? And I know he's part of the evaluation process, but he's getting evaluated too.
Yep.
And I don't know that, like, I look at the roster. I know you got May. I know you got Gonzalez. I'd like to think that Barmore is still a viable option. Hopefully he's, you know, healthy and can return to the level of play he was at before. And, you know, that thing in Rhode Island is all behind him and all that other stuff. So, like, I just, you know, we'll see. But that's where I am with that. The rest of the roster hasn't, I know what we have. We figured out what you have. It's not really much worth holding on to, I think, is the consensus here with us. And probably with the coaching staff and probably with ownership and the front office and everybody else. What do they think, though, about Gerard Mayo?
I think that's a great question. But I also don't think from them, from an ownership perspective, I don't think you can remove their pre-existing feelings and biases.
Right.
Right. Like, I think that's the overbearing or overarching important factor, right? Like, if they were just judging him on everything that occurred from January through now, I very much think he'd be on the hot seat. But I don't think that's what they're doing. Like, I think they invested in this unknown quantity, young quantity, and they're in it, right? Like, if it's one of those old, I don't know, cliches, like, if you're in for an inch, you're in for a mile, or I don't know, something like that.
In it for a penny, in it for a pound.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. If they're in it for a penny, this year's the penny, they're in it for a pound. Yeah. See, that's why he's Stiz with
Stiz. Knows his British colloquialisms better than most people, yes.
But I think that is what the case is here. Like, you're fully invested in Gerard Mayo, regardless, almost regardless of what happens this season. The thing that jumped out to me beyond that is, from his perspective, this line of thought and talking point almost reminded me of the question I asked Curran yesterday. Like, so what do we do the rest of the season?
Where do we go from here now? Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, what is going to go on for the next 2 months? And I think he's wondering the same. Like, this is meaningless football in a way. Like, there's a lot of meaningless football to be played because I think most people have already decided Drake May's the guy. Drake May is one of the keepers. He's going to be good. We got to get him experience without getting him killed, like some sort of balance there. Mm-hmm. And like you, I think most people have decided, other than about three people, I don't give a rat's katukus about anybody else on the roster. And like I heard Wiggy say it, he did one of those podcasts. And I wonder if he got approval on that. He's supposed to file for approval on those podcasts.
Yes.
That Shut Up Mark or Mark is.
Yeah, he was cool on the Shut Up Mark podcast.
And one of them was, he basically said.
Well, first of all, just real quick before we elaborate here, Shut Up Mark gets Jeremy Swayman in the middle of his contract negotiations. He gets Matthew Judon right before he gets traded. Yep. And he gets Wiggy right before the Bears game. I mean, come on. You talk about gets. I don't know that there's a better series of gets than those. Pew, pew, pew.
One of the social media clips making the rounds from Wiggy's appearance was basically what you just said. I got May, I got Barmore, I got Gonzo. I don't care about anybody
else. I agree with him 100%. I agree with everything that Wiggy said on that. I heard that clip, and I think he's absolutely right, and I think that's got to be on some level. Like, you have to field the team, right? You can't just cut everybody and you can't trade everybody away. You have to field the team. So some of these guys will be back, but in terms of who you're tying to the roof of the, you know, in terms of who you're really making sure is there with you, that's it. I mean, that's what we're talking about. So it's an interesting
situation.
You also
have to play games, though. Like, you also have to. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the weirdness of Curran, that confusion yesterday, he jumped right to the draft. It's like, yeah, everybody would like to jump right to the draft. You can't. There's a rest of the season that must be played. You must put 11 people out there on offense and defense and special teams and compete each and every week. And Coach Mayo on Focus Friday, you still have a lot of games to focus on and figure out how you're going to navigate the challenges of motivation and competition and development that come over the next 2 months.
Yeah, absolutely. There are two rookie quarterbacks playing this weekend, Hart. I don't know if you knew that. I don't know
really?
If you read that in the paper or not, but that's
Jaden
actually
Daniels
true.
And Bo Nix?
It is neither of them. It is Drake May and it is Caleb Williams, the number 3 and number 1 overall picks, respectively, in the draft this year. And we heard this from Brian yesterday. Brian Frizoco, our resident Bears fan. And young Brian came in, talked with us, if you saw some of the clips maybe, and
some of them, there were like 20.
A lot of Brian.
He likes him some him.
Hey, you know what? You got a mug like that. You got to put it out there.
Hey, if you're not going to promote yourself, who's going to promote you?
It's a great point. Absolutely.
We've learned that as well as anyone.
We certainly have, host two.
Thanks, host one.
I think
you're doing a fine job, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I think that when you look at these two guys and you look at how in despair the Bears fans are, and it's not just there. I mean, they're you read their local stuff and listen to their some of the local Bears podcasts and stuff like that, and they are very down on the team. More so even than I think Patriots fans are at this point. And I don't know exactly why. I think it's sort of the dichotomy of the way these two teams prepared for their rookie quarterbacks. Like, the Bears think, hey, we got a guy, we got the first overall pick, which in theory should be the best one, right? Like, this is,
yeah,
this was the guy everybody wanted. This is the guy who was going to go first. We got him. And not only did we get him, we set him up pretty well. We had Moore here already. We drafted Adunze. We traded for Allen. And we'll get to a lot of this in our Bears scouting report a little bit later on. But, you know, we brought in Swift. We did all this stuff. And it doesn't really seem like it's clicking as fast as we wanted it to. Whereas the Patriots did the opposite. They didn't expect it to click right away because they didn't even really want to play him. I feel like they kind of got forced into it because Brissett was just not working out. And they didn't surround him with anything. They basically just have him QBing last year's team, only there's no Smith-Schuster and no Devontae Parker. And there's no Zeke Elliott. And that's basically it. Everything's the same. Jalen Polk and Javon Baker hardly play. So, I mean, you're really not looking at a very much different offense from the one that got you the third overall pick last year. And I think that that's sort of the difference, is the expectations in Chicago around Williams, and not just Williams, but the front office and Eberflus and sort of all this other stuff, were set very differently than what was to be a multi-year kind of prolonged, unbearable rebuild this season with the Patriots.
Yeah, no question. With most of us, expectations set your emotion, right? Your reaction, yeah, and how you feel in almost everything, every aspect of life. Like, you got a kid, and if you're expecting the kid to sleep for 6 hours and he wakes up in four, you're pissed, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the worst night. If you know he gets up every 2 hours, isn't it easier to deal with? Like, you kind of know what to expect over the course of the night. And I think the Bears fans have a problem where they expected a pretty good football team,
yep,
because of the moves and the talent around the quarterback. And I think also it's trending south. That's the other aspect, that it's not, you know, maybe if you flipped their season a little bit and they weren't fading and you weren't having this sort of turmoil among veterans and questions about the coach, but not only are they not living up to some of the early preseason expectations, they're fading. They've lost a couple in a row. They're,
yeah,
not winning games that maybe they thought, like, coming into the season, I think the Bears and Cardinals, I think people probably thought more of the Bears than the Cardinals, right?
Definitely.
And now the Cardinals are kind of trending one way. The Bears are trending in a different direction. So,
and the Cardinals smoked them last weekend, yeah.
Right. And in New England, I think most people had pretty low expectations. So just the fact, I mean, yes, as people have said in the text line, are we really resigned to the fact that we celebrate incomplete passes? Yes, yes, we do. That's what we do. We celebrate Drake May, the way he runs, the way he throws, whatever he can do. That is what we're relegated to for the here and now. And most of us have accepted that. And I think in a weird way, it allows us to enjoy some of that and not get so down. You may not be included in that group because you get very angry that the other 52 players stink and they didn't surround him. And that's fair. I'm not telling you how to react.
You're a little bit, but okay.
I'm off my high horse now. I'm sitting in a chair at a desk. I got off the horse.
Did you fix that door behind you, by the way? Can you pan over and show us? No, of course not.
It's going to be a pain in my ass to fix, so I'm going to delay it as long as possible. Until my wife really gets angry, then I will fix it. But
right,
for you people on some television screen to complain about the door in my house, you think I'm going to do it for you people? No.
Okay, just asking. The people do want to know. They want to know if there's like a man living in the house who can fix stuff. You know, that's just that.
There
is.
But he's a man with a lot to do, and he's not always on task. And, you know, after the year ends and when I sit in my dark room and consider things that I need to do better, that door will be on the list.
Okay, very good.
You can't reach the track on the top to put the thing on the door.
Stiz, that hurts coming from you, pal. Yeah.
I know. It's kind of a brave card for you to place this, but yeah,
a little bit.
Either way,
there's a glass house. You're behind a glass window in a glass house.
Either way,
friend.
It was a pretty good line. So there you go. Gerard Mayo planning a big improvement next year. Just wait, guys. And no, it's not good right now, but next year, that's when I'm going to really take all this stuff I learned and put it all together and be the coach that you want to be. I think in general.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
What?
So we're all excited about 2025 for the quarterback, correct?
Am I excited, what, that he's going to take a step forward and be better?
Yeah.
Yeah, to an extent. If I was convinced that they were going to put better players around him, yes. I'd be more excited if I believed that. But right now, I kind of feel like, you know, year two of Mac Jones is still emblazoned in my head. Like, I just, it's hard for me to think that unless this team and this organization starts changing their approach to team building, maybe from the ground up, it's hard for me to think that Drake May is going to get the support that he needs next year. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah, for me, it's from the EVP down, because I'm really down on Elliott Wolf. I really have significant concerns about Elliott Wolf and to truly entrust him with all those assets. But my point was, we're excited about the quarterback. He's shown us enough, right? Has Gerard Mayo shown you enough to have any excitement about the head coach with a year two jump? The quarterback's year two jump is going to be good. Head coach?
No, I mean, he hasn't shown me that, but it's also, I think, a little tougher to evaluate. Like, did Bill Belichick show you anything in that 5-11 season that let you know he was going to be?
No, I think he was going to get fired until Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe.
Right, you know, like, so that's, I think that's kind of, coaches, I don't think coaches have no say over what happened. I think that obviously coaches can have a very big influence on things, and game plan and scheme and all of that does make a difference. We haven't seen a whole lot of evidence of that from Gerard Mayo, of that working so far this year, but again, you know, you get the right players, you get guys with more talent. I'm not willing to fully judge this season for him as a coach until they put it. It's sort of the same thing with Drake May. Until they actually put a team out there for him to coach, it's hard to make an honest evaluation.
Sure. And I think also part of it will be the honest evaluations he's going to have to make after the season. And I don't know what they're going to be. Is DeMarcus Covington going to remain in his role as play caller, defensive coordinator? Is Alex Van Pelt going to remain in his role as play caller and defensive coordinator? Is that even a decision Gerard Mayo gets to make unilaterally? Right. I don't know the answer to that either.
Yeah, that's all good points. The show today is packed. We have a lot of stuff to get to today. As you know, Andy, we're doing our pillar power rankings of the Boston Bruins. That's coming up later on.
I'm excited for that.
I'm excited about that as well. The Red Sox in on another player, this time for a trade, which if you read what they're thinking about offering here from Sean McAdam at Mass Live, it's going to get you angry all over again, because it got me angry. I know that. Mike Giardi is going to be joining the show at 5 o'clock. We are also going to be handing out mid-season awards here for all of the NFL and for the Patriots. That's all coming up later on in the show. However, when we return, Thursday Night Football last night, another two-point conversion. This time they went for it, and they blew it, and I think it was the right move. We'll get to all of that. We'll debate that right after Stiz gets you caught up on what.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trending. Well, how about that, Andy? A two-point conversion. The Cincinnati Bengals driving the length of the field. Could have tied it up there against Baltimore and then gone into overtime.
Yep.
They go for two. There were several penalty flags that could have been thrown on that play, which we'll get to that as well, because, oh, my God. Just even in real time, it's not often in real time where I'm like, penalty, two penalties. I saw two penalties on that play. There were two obvious penalties on that play. Either way, I understand not wanting to throw a flag there. It's the last play of the game. You remember, who did we talk to? Was it Maybe it was Drake, but someone was like, yeah, you know, they didn't want to call holding on that last play. Was that him? Did he say that? I forget who said that. But it's true.
Yeah, somebody did.
He was out there. He's fill about 12 seconds, and they probably could have called
something
on somebody.
I think it was Ross Tucker.
That's right. It was Tucker, which was a good call by him, by the way. And I think that in general, at the very end of the game, like, refs tend to swallow their whistles. So I'm not going to make a huge deal about that. They definitely could have thrown him, though, and nobody would have had a problem with either one of those. They were pretty blatant, especially the hands to the face on Burrow, which I feel like they're just not calling this year. They're not calling face masks. They're not calling hands to the face. It's like, you know how every year they all emphasize a certain rule? It's like they de-emphasized face masks this year for some reason. Right. It's very weird.
It's like we know those stupid illegal formation penalties and illegal motions are going to go up. So to balance out the penalties, you can hit the guys in the face or you can grab their face mask. We're not going to call that anymore. And right. I get Burrow's frustration because I actually don't want to hold. You know, I kind of want the guys to play in general, whether it's the linemen and the pass rushers, whether it's the DBs and the wide receivers. Mm-hmm. But we've always put quarterbacks on a different pedestal, and you just know they are. And he's as good as there is in the game. He is a top three quarterback, five quarter, however you want to put him. And I think it could have been either hands to the face or a face mask because I thought it was a hit to the face and then a grab of the face mask. And I hate when people do this, but you know for a fact if that's Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or one of those guys, it gets called every time. Why does it not get called for Joe Burrow? He's the modern version of those guys. Did you see the stat that was making the rounds? I retweeted it. He has two games against the Ravens this year that a quarterback has never lost with the stat lines he's put up.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's like 300-plus yards, you know, 4-plus touchdowns, one or fewer interceptions with multiple 40-yard touchdown passes. No one else has ever lost while putting up those numbers, and he's done it twice to the Ravens. He is just – it's still remarkable the Patriots beat them, too. Like, you look at that team.
I know.
Like, what is going on here?
But no, Higgins didn't play, but still, even with that, it's like, how did you do that?
Right. It's weird. And
Chase had that touchdown. They were like, oh, well, he was in the open field. No, he wasn't. He was not in the open field. He made it open field.
He
caught the ball on a group of people, and then he was in the open field. He's unbelievable.
And he is deceptively fast.
Yeah.
I don't think he looks that fast. It's just he leaves everybody behind him and runs as fast as he needs to basically run to split people and get by people. And I know everybody's been saying it, but obviously betting on himself, the price tag is just going up every flipping time.
He almost
takes
had 300
field.
Yards last
year. Yeah. Now he's a $40 million receiver probably.
Yeah.
He's knocking on the door of $40 million a year. And the frustration at the end there with the penalties, I hate, but I keep likening it to, I was bitching about the illegal screen in the Celtics-Warriors game. Like, even if you make things reviewable, I don't know if they're going to call that.
Right.
Or are they going to act like NBA officials and be like, nothing to see here. Nope, we called it right on the field. We're fine. We're moving along.
Review this.
Right. Like, I hate the officials and the impact they have on a game, especially one like this where Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, they're putting on a show. This is what football. This was almost like, I said the Rams-Chiefs game, the shootout a few years ago, we were all excited and we were like, oh, is offense taking over the world and are they going to score whenever they want now? This game had a little bit of a feel for that for
it
a
did.
While.
It was one of the rare games like that this year. I feel like there haven't
Love
been a lot
it.
Of those. The offense has been down. This was an awesome game. This was for a Thursday night game too, even more so. I thought it was really, really fun. I will say this though, missed call or not, I don't understand. Joe Burrow, you just went on about how great he was. I did not like his decision-making on that play. I didn't like where he went with the ball. He throws it to a tight end who's on the one-yard line, by the way, who has to dive for the ball. He's going to land on the ground. And Ja'Marr Chase has 300 yards. He's in single coverage, going up, running the, I don't know what he ran, but he ran around the guy and was in the back of the end zone.
Yep.
And if you had waited 1 second longer, or even don't wait 1 second longer, throw it to where he's going. He'll go up and get it. He's been going up and getting it the whole game. That leaping touchdown he had in the end zone earlier in the game was amazing. How could you not throw it to him there? I thought that was crazy. Burrow's a good quarterback, sure, but he bleeped up that play, I think. He needed to go to Chase there. I can't believe he didn't.
Yeah, I am a football simpleton in those instances. I learned it watching Brady for years.
Yeah.
Like, did he spread the ball around? Sure. And then when the game was on the line, it was either going to Gronk or Edelman. And he was going to say, my guy will make a play because I trust my guy. I trust my throw, and I trust that guy to be better than your guy. And on a night like that, I don't know how you couldn't think, your best opportunity is Ja'Marr Chase against anyone, against any two, and as you said, maybe against any three. He would like, it's almost like Justin Jefferson, that crazy catch he made. I'm going to give my guy a chance to go get it in traffic because I just think he's better. I'm going to take my guy over your guy. And that's where I think sometimes football coaches, football quarterbacks overthink it. Oh, I got a matchup over here that I like. Again, they're like, yeah, who are you throwing to, though? Like, there's no guarantee he's going to make a play. You haven't built the trust and whatever with Chase, with him, the way you have with Chase. So I hated that. I agreed with the call to go for it because you hadn't stopped.
So
Lamar
you
was
did.
Having
you,
a special
I
night.
I 100% agree with you there, 100%. You can't give it back to him. He scored four straight touchdowns. Like, no way.
You and that's one that I actually don't know the answer to this. You know, when you go into analytics and people always say, but it doesn't take into account X, Y, and Z. Does it have a way, because I truly don't understand AI and all of it, does it have a way to say, well, the other team did score on four straight drives prior to this? Mm-hmm. Like, is that, or is it just pure raw numbers and not very specific numbers? Because I think that should matter. Like, if the other team had scored four straight times to start the game, but hadn't scored in six straight possessions,
right.
You make a different decision there, right? They're laboring. They're, you know, you feel really good about your offense and your ability. So in this situation, and I could have done without the. I don't. What do you think of Zach Taylor? I don't really like him. He seems like kind of a dink. He's kind of a hardo, and I know who's a bigger hardo than me. It's Andy Hardo.
Takes one to know one, but yeah.
But I don't think
he doesn't
good.
Bother me that much. But yeah, I do question his ability sometimes. Yeah,
and he's like, we came here to win. Yeah, no kidding. So did the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Every team comes to a stadium to win.
Yeah, and I thought he was right to go for two there. I do. I don't think that was any problem.
I think Bill Belichick would do a better job with that team.
You think so?
Bill Watch.
I don't know. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be some interesting candidates that are going to be in the coaching carousel this year, I think, with all the offensive coordinators and everybody who are going to be graduating. And I think that's going to be interesting for Bill Watch, certainly, if it even comes to that. We'll see. We'll see who gets fired. We'll see if anybody takes a chance on him there. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got a couple people waiting patiently early on in the show here. We'll get to you early and often here on this Focus Friday. And we'll start with David in the car. Go ahead, David.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. So you guys earlier were talking about Gerard Mayo and if he's going to be here second year. And here's my take on Gerard Mayo and Elliot Wolf.
Uh-huh.
I think it's pretty obvious the two of them made the decision to let Mac Jones go. The reason I bring up Mac Jones' name is with what's going on with Trevor Lawrence possibly being out for some time with having mm-hmm. surgery by the looks of it.
Yep.
If Mac Jones comes into play replacing
Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, mm-hmm. and he has a winning rest of the season, don't you guys think that that's going to play a factor with the Patriots? Because the reason being, guys, and hear me out for a second here, is until somebody else comes in here as a quarterback and does what Mac Jones did on his rookie year, beating out of veterans and the numbers he put up on his rookie year, until somebody else comes in here and does that, it's always going to be a question. Did we make the right move letting Mac Jones go or not?
I don't know about that, David. I don't think anybody's going to think that. Even if Mac Jones wins out the rest of the season, I don't think anyone's going to say that. I just don't. It wasn't working here. It was a toxic situation, I think, by the end. According to reports, I wasn't there. I don't know. But it just seemed like he'd been benched. They didn't even make him the third QB in that last game. Remember that? Like it was bad at the end. And I know Bill was gone, but you had a third overall pick there, and going for the quarterback was something they all just decided to do. And I'm not convinced that even if they had gone a different direction, which clearly now they never really considered doing that seriously, but if they had gone in another direction and traded back or drafted Harrison or drafted Alt or done any of this other stuff, I still think they move on from Mac Jones. I don't think that would have – they would have figured out some other quarterback situation. They would have kept Zappe. I don't know. It just – it would maybe it's Brissett and Zappe. I have no idea. But I don't think Mac Jones would be here even if they hadn't drafted Drake May.
I don't think he would be here. I don't think he should be here. I think it was toast. I think it was irreparable damage, his psyche, the organization, the fit, the whole thing. And Mac Jones, he takes over the Jags. Let's just say he wins three straight Super Bowls. And Drake May has three losing seasons to start his career. I still will agree with the decision.
Yeah.
It was done. Like, and now I don't think that's going to happen. I've already seen enough to know, in my mind, Drake May is a far superior quarterback and a far superior leader to Mac Jones. I have no doubts about that. So I wish Mac Jones luck restarting his career because I do think he got done dirty, as the kids say a little
bit. I 100% think that. 100%.
So, I would not be opposed. Like, he never did anything to me personally. I'm not rooting against him. I would not be opposed to see him doing well so that he can get a quasi-starting contract job, you know, one of those prove-it $15 million yeah. a year deals somewhere next year. I have no real ill will against him, but I also have no desire to ever see him step in Gillette Stadium or a Patriots uniform again.
Joe is in Melrose. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I think, like, doing great. So I think, like, this is a successful year because they developed Drake May. We have a franchise quarterback. It's like in the NBA, you get your superstar, then you figure out how to build your team around him. And they've done step one. Step two, basically, Elliott Wolf should be on the phone to every agent of every potential free agent, the agents of every potential free agent, and letting them know, hey, don't re-sign with your team till you wait for you hear an offer from the Patriots. I mean, with our draft capital, we're going to reload this roster, and I think they're definitely going to be a playoff team in 2025. It's just they need depth. I mean, they've had some key injuries this year, so you get, like, Barmore back healthy.
Joe, they don't need depth. Depth is not their problem. I mean, they don't have depth, first of all. You're right. They do need that, but that's not their problem. The problem isn't depth. The problem is they have no talent. They don't have any talent at all. That's the problem. Not that they don't have depth. Depth is a nice thing to have when you're a good team. You suck. Like, you have all the depth you want. Like, they have a bunch of wide receivers. They got depth at wide receiver. They got like seven guys in the room. They all stink. Like, that's the point. They need talent. And that's what I sort of, like, you talk, the caller said this, and not to get too upset here, but, like, well, step one's out of the way. You can only do one step per year? Is that, I mean, like, that's ridiculous. You could have knocked out three or four steps this year if you wanted to, if you had drafted better, if you'd spent more in free agency, if you'd been a little more aggressive on certain fronts, you could have gotten some of those banged out this year instead of just the quarterback, and you didn't. And, you know, like, that's frustrating. It's not, you can say it's me being pessimistic if you want to, but that's the truth. That's where we are right now. That's the state of the team.
Yeah, I do not have the optimism of the caller because I'm with you in a way. I don't think they could have done a ton in free agency that would have positively impacted this team. We've talked a lot about it. Jonah Williams is sort of the guy, and he's really not that good, and he got hurt and all those things. But the fact that you basically whiffed on everything other than Drake May,
right?
Draft picks, and signings, mid-level signings, depth signings, whatever you want to call them, you did not hit on any. I can't even think of a good one. Like, even Taki Taki or, like, all these random guys they brought in, some of them aren't even here anymore. Even Gibson we thought was going to be good. In questions in the press conference today. Yeah, so Antonio Gibson's a pass catcher. How come he's not really catching passes for your offense? And Mayo's like, well, the matchups didn't really work. Like, they have not gotten upside on any addition other than Drake May. And you're right. You can't do a one-off because everybody will be aged out. Christian Gonzalez will have to retire before you get a great pass rusher if you check off one a year, right?
Right.
Okay, we got a cornerback, then we got a quarterback. Next year we got a tackle, then we got a wide receiver. You can't do it that way. You have to bring in talent in bunches, and it has to be higher-end talent. This team is in need of, like, I don't know, what's the number? 5 home runs, maybe?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there?
A grand tackle, slam would be nice. Yeah, a couple of home runs need to happen, absolutely.
You can't forget depth. Depth might be the 2026 offseason where you're like, oh, we're now an 11-win team. If we're going to get over the top, we got to get deeper. That kind of
wins.
A thing.
Oh, boy. See if they can do 11 wins in the next 3 years. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. The Red Sox, according to Sean McAdam, in on another player. This is a name that I like. It's a trade that could possibly happen, and I think there's no chance of it. That's coming up next. Craig Breslow, exactly a month ago on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with the great Rob Bradford, who you heard there asking the question. Reason we're doing a little Red Sox right now is because, if you're reading Mass Live, and I'm sure you already have, Sean McAdam.
Yeah.
Reporting that the Red Sox are right in the thick of Garrett Crochet talks. Garrett Crochet, mm-hmm. the 25-year-old starter for the Chicago White Sox, who for months this season was one of the best, if not the best, pitchers in baseball. He tailed off a little bit at the end of the season, ended up with pretty good numbers. I wouldn't say a pedestrian. His ERA in the threes. His record wasn't good, obviously, because it's the White Sox. But in general, I'd say he's a pretty impressive young pitcher who's under cost control for the next 2 years. And here is what McAdam wrote. It says, among the top starting pitchers being made available is Garrett Crochet, and it shouldn't surprise anyone that the Red Sox are being considered major players for his services. No, it does not surprise me that the Red Sox are considered that. That does not surprise me at all. I think they're right in the thick of things, said a baseball person. Whenever I hear that baseball person, I think of like Mr. Met. You know, right. like a person who's a baseball.
I'm a real baseball person. I'm a baseball.
Said a baseball person, not Mr. Met, with knowledge of the White Sox thinking, it will come down to what they're willing to offer. But from a talent standpoint, they match up well. They didn't show as much interest as others at the trade deadline last summer, but the interest has increased in the offseason, and they're sending the message. We wanted to be involved in this. We want to be involved in these talks. I definitely think they're one of five or so teams that are legitimate, real teams that match up prospect-wise. Other teams expected to be part of the bidding include Baltimore, San Diego, the Dodgers, and it's likely other teams will emerge as the talks intensify, especially those operating under a win-now directive. Before we jump over to the other part of this, the part that's going to piss you off, what do you think about that? The Red Sox, according to this baseball person, want to be involved in the talks. We want to be involved in this. We're sending the message. We want to be involved in these talks. What do you think of that language as opposed to, we want to land this guy. We want Garrett Crochet, and we'll do whatever it takes. No, we want to be involved in the talks, and we want everyone to know that we're involved in the talks. Doesn't that just kind of bring your urine to a boil? Because it does to mine. Like, well, that does upset me reading that.
It upsets me in a different way, not the way you took it. The way it upsets me is that the rest of baseball thinks of the Red Sox like you do. They're not even taking them seriously.
Right.
And the Red Sox are like, nah, we want to be at the table. We want to be involved in the talks. And they're going to have that. Yeah. And that concerns me. That concerns me a little bit. I don't take it quite your way. To me, it's more like baseball is now dismissive of the Boston Red Sox because of the way they've done business and tried to handle things in recent years. And they need to prove. You know how, like, I've never been part of this, but I've read some of these. You have to prove you have the money if you're going to, like, if a house is on auction.
Right.
You have to, like, prove you actually have the money that when you
gotta
raise
run
your
a
hand,
credit check. Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
And I feel like that's where the Red Sox are. People are like, all right, prove you actually want to take part in this bidding process. Because right now, we don't think you're a legit bidder in this bidding process. And I want them to be, because this is what I said yesterday. Oh, Soto makes sense if you're packaging some of your players to go get a pitcher. Maybe he balances out an outfield, whatever. See, I am taking this as good news. I am taking this as the more rumors and possibilities there are, sooner or later, one of them has to be real.
That's not true, Andy. That's not. You haven't been watching these off seasons, have you? Come on.
Don't be so negative.
Well, it's what's happened in the past. I'm not being purposely negative. I'm just reacting to what we've seen historically. That's all. If that doesn't bother you, then tell me what you think about this next part, okay?
Okay.
Just later on in McAdams' piece today, he writes this. Within the White Sox organization, there's an understanding that the Red Sox are unlikely to include Roman Anthony, rated by some as the top prospect in the game, in any package to land Crochet. Okay, so far.
Okay, fine.
Red Sox will likely make at least one more member of the Big Four untouchable, too. But the Red Sox system has improved to the degree that even the next level of prospects, including, please forgive me because I don't know how to pronounce this, Jontynyon. It's Jhostynxon. So I'm going with Jatinian.
Is that real?
I'm sure that's wrong. Something Garcia. It's like Elon Musk's kids' names.
I thought it was like a typo. I thought it was when the mascot was typing the telestrator on the ESPN commercial.
That could be.
Like,
I mean, it maybe
numbers.
Is, but no, I'm not sure. And I don't want to disrespect
I've never
this young
seen
man
that name.
I don't know how to pronounce it. But anyway, that's it. Or shortstop Mikey Romero could constitute part of the package from Boston's end. There's a nice second group of players in the system there, said one evaluator. From that group, I don't know if it's strike gold, but you could get some real solid major leaguers from that second tier. For that matter, so too could someone like outfielder Willier Abreu, who won a gold glove and posted a 794 OPS in 160 games in his first 160 games in the major leagues. I think they're open to that as well, said the source. Young position players are probably going to be the number one focus. And from there, if it can include an arm, someone like Cutter Crawford, great. But even if the service time clock has started, they'd be open to it. They're going to be open to whatever gives them the best return value-wise rather than time frame or fit. Now, there was brief discussion of maybe one other of the Big Four, Anthony Teal and all those guys. You know, maybe one other of them would be made untouchable. I can go ahead and fill in the blanks. They're all going to be untouchable. They're going to try and get Crochet for Romero and Moon Unit Garcia here and all these people. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to dangle guys like that out there. They're going to be interested. They're going to have talks. They're not going to dip into their Big Four. And he's going to go to a team that's in win-now mode, Andy. That's the problem. That's why I don't like this. I don't like this whole idea. Well, we don't want to sacrifice wins for the future with wins now. It's like, well, can you win sometime, please? Can you win one of these things? because you're not doing a lot of winning out there. You're not doing a lot, not a lot of playoff appearances. All right, this has been a tough couple of years when it's very easy to make the playoffs and you can't do it, Red Sox. So maybe now's the time you do that. Maybe now's the time you go out there and say, okay, Garrett Crochet is 25 years old. We're going to roll the dice here and take a stab at getting this lefty, this young stud lefty in our rotation, which we desperately need. And we're going to go out there and we're going to really make a push for it. And if we have to trade one of our top prospects, this is the type of guy you trade him for. Is that crazy to say? I mean, it just seems like there's no way that that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, from a Red Sox perspective, if you can get him for, you know, pennies on the dollar, seemingly not having to give up your elite prospects. I got a little confused in there. I wasn't sure on the sourcing because it feels to me like a talent evaluator in the Red Sox organization is trying to sell the depth of the organization.
Right.
And, you may not be able to get the top four, but we got some really good players, some major leaguers that are after that, the depth of this organ. I didn't love that because I think you're right. Like, if you're going to get an elite 25-year-old left-handed pitcher who's under control, who should be the ace of your staff moving forward, you almost give up anything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you almost give up. And like, okay, if you want Anthony off the table, that's fine. But you can't keep. So, well, I kind of want to keep that, too. It's like when you watch those shows about hoarders and they want to hoard
right,
everything.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And the pile to go to the junkyard is like three things. And the pile that they want to keep is still like 100 things. And everybody's like freaking out. That's how that feels. You've developed a great organization. And I'll be honest, I don't have an attachment to any of them. I don't have a single attachment.
I don't even know what they look like, Andy.
Right. Right. I mean, to the point, one of the prospects, I'm not sure if that's a real name or not that's printed in Sean McAdams. Like, I've never seen those combination of letters before
right.
in my life.
The thing, the real legitimate landing spots here is that talks with these other teams like the Dodgers, Padres, and Orioles will intensify, and other teams will emerge, especially those operating under a win-now directive. If you're operating under a win-now directive, you know what you're not doing? You're not going, hey, what do you think about our second-tier prospects? What do you think about Mikey Romero and Cutter Crawford? And then Cutter Crawford's good, but you know what I mean? Like, that's not what you're doing. You're not doing that. You're saying, all right, what is it going to take to get this guy? Let's get him, and let's make that happen. And that's what you do. You target someone. You make that the emphasis. You make that this is, and you don't want to do a bad deal, obviously, but if you're willing to go that far, you don't dink around when there's six other teams and counting who are all in win-now mode who want to outbid you. I just feel like that's a dumb place to start. If you want them, go get them.
So can I sell you on circumstantial evidence?
Sure.
The more we talked about yesterday. So you didn't like the Pivetta qualifying offer. And I said, well, what if they're dealing off one of their arms in an effort to get a better arm?
Then I said I'd change my mind. That's,
so
of course,
Cutter Crawford, Willier Abreu, and two prospects for Crochet. Does that make sense? And then they signed Soto.
I'd do that in a second. Are you kidding me?
That's a good offseason plan.
I would
Andy.
Do that in a meth head heartbeat. Are you kidding me? That would be no question about it. I would do that. That's a great plan. 617-779-7937. The Boston Bruins barely squeezed one out last night in overtime against the Calgary Flames. I don't know if you feel any better about that one or if Jim Montgomery's seat has gotten any less hot, but we'll discuss that with your phone calls next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.